This morning's first reading can be found on page 106 of the New Testament section of the Church Bible. It is taken from the book of John, chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Jesus, the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This morning's second reading can be found on page 245 of the New Testament section of the Church Bible. It is taken from the book of Revelations, chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. The scroll and the Lamb. Then I saw, between the throne and the four living creatures, and among the elders, a lamb standing as if it had been slaughtered, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who was seated on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sing a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might for ever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. This is the word of the Lord.
As we come to God's word, a prayer together. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We're not in heaven yet, but that passage from the book of Revelation gives us a glorious hint of what is actually happening in heaven right now. That golden bowl of incense, which is the prayer of the saints. We've offered prayer already this morning. And that's what's coming, but we in Lent look at the journey before then. So this second Sunday in Lent, we come in our little series, really, of themes from following Jesus last week to being with Jesus this week. We're looking at key gospel texts through Lent to work out as best we can what it feels like to be a Christian disciple. We won't learn everything this Lent, but we will learn some things that will strengthen us and help us. The book which has been recommended in Lent is by a man called John Mark Comer, if you've come across it, and he talks about discipleship like apprenticeship, a learning time, being with Jesus. So our gospel passage, which we've had read so ably this morning, Jesus speaks in allegory. It may be quite familiar to you, a well-known picture of Jesus as the vine. And the only point of a vine is to bear fruit. And the vine has branches off which fruit will grow. Now in the Old Testament, Israel itself was often referred to as a vine. A nation chosen, planted by God to bear fruit. The disciples who are listening to Jesus in the passage that we've had read would have known this picture of Israel. They'd have been familiar with it and the way it was designed to express Israel's intended role in human history. If you went up to the temple, there are parts of decoration where you see vines spreading. In Psalm 80, talking of God delivering the children of Israel from Egypt, bringing them into the promised land, the psalmist says of God, "You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took root and filled the land." Nice picture. But in the Old Testament, it wasn't always an attractive picture. The picture of Israel as vine was not always a happy one. Israel failed often to bear fruit, or it bore fruit which was at best unpleasant. The prophet Isaiah gets that. Speaking of God, he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. So Jesus saying to the disciples, "I am the vine, I am the true vine," is talking about that massive shift from old covenant life to new covenant life. What Israel had intended to be but had never become. Created as a nation, chosen, called, sent for a purpose, but that purpose now is to be delivered in history by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not far from the Holy Week experiences. We're not far from Good Friday. We're not far from Easter Day. And Jesus is saying, disciples, apprentices, I am the true vine. This is how it's going to have to be for there to be fruit. The way a vine delivers fruit is through its branches. And I could almost picture Jesus pointing. I really do feel he must have pointed. I don't know whether he did or not. Because he says, "You are the branches." They're sitting, interesting. Yes, Jesus is the true vine. That's good. Well, that would make sense. "You are the branches." Did he not say, "You, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, James, Steve. You are the branches." And a sense of the responsibility will have settled on them, won't it? Well, we thought everything was coming from Jesus. You're the great leader. You're the great rabbi. You are, dare we even mention it, already beginning to think of you as Messiah. This is not just a helpful picture, not just an easy picture of grapes and vine. It's a key passage, this. It really is about Jesus' identity, but not just his, vine and branches, also our identity as believers, what it's like to be a believer. And this is a practical takeaway application for you to take into your week. I am a branch. We'll explore what that looks like and what you will have to do to live out the life of a branch. We start with Jesus. Jesus, the chosen one, the source, the promise bearer, the deliverer of God's purpose in history, the divine person in whom we are sustained. The divine person in whom we are sustained. We are sustained by God himself. Not a historical figure, by God. Christ, the giver of energy and power and purpose and life. In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, "We proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the rest. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." If you are a called person today, the Christ you follow, the Christ to whom you are connected as a branch, gives you power and wisdom from God himself, for he is God. So God's purposes pour out in their fulfillment from Christ, the true vine. So it's through Christ, yes, but we need to hold our breath here. This is enormous, friends. A familiar passage which is enormous. It's through you and me that God delivers his plan and his purpose in history. Take a breath. This is enormous news. It's wonderful news. It's salvation news. That's the point. But it's also a call to action. You can't hear these words and not realize that we must hear and act. It's from you, from me, that the fruit must come. With God as the vine grower, the fruit is to come not from Israel, but from the new Israel, which is us. All those who are in Christ, branches in the vine. And this new Israel is being spiritually sustained by Christ, being given life constantly by the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Every single day of your Christian life, which is every single day of your life if you are a Christian, you are sustained by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the one who we remember in Holy Week. We've already seen up here three crosses on a hill. We're remembering that Thursday night. We come here again and again and again to remember the majesty of our salvation. A picture of our discipleship for us to absorb this morning. A picture of our union with Christ, but it's completed by our response, our loving, devoted, and obedient response. And how do I know that? I know that because the Lord Jesus Christ said it, and we've just read it. I'm not making this up. The Lord Jesus is giving this to you this morning. What are the characteristics of these branches? The characteristics of being a Christian believer. Once you are spliced into the vine, there is no life unless you remain in the vine. You must abide in me, says Jesus. Like the branch abides in the vine. We've already heard Jesus say that in the chapter before in this epistle. Jesus says, "You are in me, and I am in you." And now he's giving us a picture to help us understand that. As the branch spliced into the vine, that's where life comes. Without our abiding in Christ, there can be no fruit because there is no life. That's crucial for us to understand. As a metaphor, the Christian life is an apprenticeship. It is fine so far as it goes, but the whole point of an apprentice is that she or he learns a trade, masters that trade, and leaves the master and follows the trade without the master. I mentioned for those at the 9:15 last week my own legal training. I had to sign a deed of articles when I started that made me promise to do all sorts of things, to be good and well-behaved and sober and obedient and all sorts of things I had to do as well as learning to be a solicitor. And that was, if you like, my deed of apprenticeship. And I had to follow the boss around and learn from him. My particular boss, who is no longer with us, used to take delight wherever he went, if I was also present, to say, of course, I taught Godfrey everything he knows. He was my article clerk. I'm not sure, looking back, how much I really learned in those 2 years, but I learned lots of things. But they came to an end. An apprenticeship does. Being a branch to the true vine never comes to an end. So it's not like an apprenticeship. You never leave the master. One day you will reign. Think about that Revelation passage. One day you will reign with him in glory. The complete opposite picture, really. The Christian life, our discipleship with Christ. Discipleship means learning. That goes on and on and on and on. It requires us to go on abiding in the vine. Unless we do that, we can't bear fruit. Get that this morning. The Greek word for abide can be translated make your home in. And that's a very natty point that John Mark Comer makes, so that we might translate the first part of verse 4 in a very homely way. Jesus saying, make your home in me as I make my home in you. Well, how do we do it? Jesus tells us. Jesus' words help us to remain abiding in him. We've heard a lot of his words already in our ears this morning in this one service. Jesus' words in here. I hope you have one of these, and I hope it's regularly open and read. Jesus' words. Jesus actually says they need to be in you, but they also do something. Like the vine grower cleans the branches so that it works better, God's word cleans us, trims us, helps us to abide. There are two pictures. There's this abiding and being cleaned, and then, of course, there is pruning to come as well. So one way is by our accepting and receiving his words. That helps us to abide. The other is receiving this cleansing, this caring for us, tending us, cleaning us. We need to be full of Jesus' words. In our Ephesians course on a Wednesday that we've just finished, there was a wonderful picture, though it's a bit striking, about being full of God's word, so that if you bleed, it's God's word that comes out. If you bleed, it's God's word that comes out. You're so full of the word of God. Jesus also prunes or trims every branch that is bearing fruit. Jesus is helping us all the time. This pruning's not a test, it's not a punishment. It's part of the way the Lord enables us to fulfill our God-given purpose. God is a good vine grower. He knows how to tend the crop. Just recently, some of you may have been doing this likewise. I've been pruning a few soft fruit bushes in our garden. I'm not a great gardener, but I do that. Cutting out the dead wood. First thing you do in the new season is cut out the dead wood, because there are branches that you cut off that are now useless. If you have a red currant bush, you might look at it at this season and see significant growth left over from last year. And you say, well, that's good, we're going to leave that because we want red currants on it. Actually, what you do is you cut it down to 3 inches short of the beginning of that fresh growth. You think, well, that's a bit weird, you're throwing away two-thirds of the new growth on the plant. No, you're not. You are and you aren't, because if you do that, you will get more fruit. You prune to create more fruit. If you have a blackcurrant bush, you go to that and you find a little pruning that needs to be done, or a dead branch to be taken off. And when you do that pruning, if you're standing next to a blackcurrant bush, you will smell blackcurrant when you do that. I promise you, you will, if you've got a decent bush. There are no blackcurrants visible, but you smell the blackcurrants that are coming when you do that snip. God's word so infused in us that we carry it with us. And sometimes we don't even have to tell people that we're a Christian. The fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you carry that with you each day? When you know people, when you meet them, would it be an expectation they would say, well, of course I know you're a Christian. I don't mean you show off. I'm not saying that. Don't mishear me. But I am saying God calls us to live massively counterculturally, with a totally different perspective, with an endpoint that is nothing like the endpoint of most of the people you know. Can people tell that you're living like that? Jesus is saying to the disciples, be the fruit. And it is important, because it's here, we can't avoid it. God removes every branch that bears no fruit. Fruit bearing is not just an option. Take it or leave it. Another great illustration we used in our Ephesians course was of a sporting scene where you gather together, say a rugby match, that's topical, there's been a lot of rugby around recently, a rugby match, and you gather together and you're talking to each other on the pitch about how you're going to get the next try, and you agree what you're going to do, and then you just all go and stand on the sideline. So that's a really excellent idea. I think we'll definitely be able to get a try if we do that. And you stand on the sideline. Yeah, that's good. And then you go back and you have another little chat and you come up with another idea. Yes, I think we could get I think that's right. Actually, we could put that on a podcast and we could talk about it. So we'll just go back onto the sideline and I'll just record it on my phone and put it on my podcast and say, it's a very good way to get a try. Get in the game. If you want to score a try, get in the game. One of the commentators puts it beautifully, I think, like this. 3 lines, it's not a long quote. The transparent purpose of this verse is to insist that there are no true Christians without some measure of fruit. So don't mishear this either. No one has to be like another Christian in their fruit bearing. You need to be bearing the fruit God asks of you. And God asks all of us to bear fruit. And we bear fruit in lots of ways. One of the ways is prayer. That Revelation passage, the bowl of incense, which is what? The prayers of the saints. Prayer is not a duty, it should be a joy. Sometimes it's hard, but it's part of the fruit of the Christian life. Without some measure of fruit. Fruitfulness is an infallible mark of true Christianity. The only alternative to fruitfulness is dead wood. So, following Jesus, being with Jesus, what does that look like? First of all, it secures you. Secondly, it's for life. It doesn't stop, because that's where you find your life. Abiding in Jesus keeps us rooted in the very source of our lives, and it enables us to bear fruit. And what does this fruit do? It glorifies God and evidences our true discipleship of the Lord Jesus. Jesus' words and our obedience enable us to abide in Christ. That's how it works. Jesus tells us that in this passage. I am giving you my words. If your words are abiding in you, you're abiding in me. And he goes on to say, you'll be doing with me what I do with the Father. This is fantastic. Jesus says, this is not an interesting hobby. This is not a club. Please, this is not a club. God Almighty, who created you, sends his Son who loves you to say, join me and I'll never let you go. Never let me go, I'll never let you go. And together we'll fulfill the will of the Father. And the honor of bearing fruit for Christ in accordance with the Father's will, the reward almost, but it's not a reward, it's a gift, because we don't earn things, is joy in our discipleship. And I don't mean soppy joy. I mean a kind of deep joy which you even experience when you can't smile. Rich, deep, lasting, divinely sourced, sustaining joy, which enables the dying Christian in pain to have joy as they look, as the first martyr, Stephen, did, to the door of heaven opening and the Lord Jesus saying, it's time for you to come. Join me today in paradise. That sort of joy is what Jesus just gives you. He died for you. He called you, you followed him, and he said, I'll give you everything now, and you'll never lose it, ever. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.